Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. How are you? Thanks for tuning in tonight. We're going to start right away with your phone calls. So very quickly, the number is 800-989-1480. What we're looking for here is your opinion, just your overall opinion. I know the phrase is just shredded and certainly shop-worn, but it's true. History was made tonight. Barack Obama is the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. It's the first time in the history of this country that a person of color has succeeded to the nominee or to become the nominee of a major political party. And there are historic implications here. There is no question. When the rest of the world wakes up tomorrow morning and realizes that the United States of America, wherein maybe 18% of the population is of African descent, we now have a Democratic nominee for president, happens to be a very bright, articulate man who happens to be of African descent, who when one looks at this man, at least if you live in America, you immediately say, oh, there's a black man, even though he is as much white as he is black. Here we go again. But I'm not going to presume to be, as Bush says, the decider where it concerns what side of the racial spectrum Barack Obama falls on. But here's the bottom line. Barack Obama is the presumptive Democratic nominee as a result of votes coming in these last two Democratic Party primaries. So there has to be a feeling inside folks in this country, I guess, maybe not. I mean, it's not, I guess to a lot of people it's not that big of a deal. But if it has meaning to you, whether you're black, white, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, man, woman, whatever, we'd like to get that opinion from you from the get-go on the program tonight. I'm not sure how deeply we will get into other topics. I will mention that KPHX and for our KPHX listeners and the Nova M radio listeners who stream the program via the Internet, Jeff Farias will come on after we are off tonight at midnight Eastern time for 2 hours of additional election coverage. So stick around for that. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. Let's get right to your phone calls as folks are calling in, starting with Mike, who's calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Mike, welcome to the program. What's your take on all this?
Well, as far as the take on the election, you know, I don't feel that that it's possible that Barack could win.
Why? Why?
In the general.
Why?
Well, there's a lot of people, a lot of Democrats who voted for Hillary, and that somehow either feel, this is just hearing, you know, local stations and around, they feel that somehow that with the situation that happened in Michigan and Florida and whatnot, you know, that it wasn't played out right. What, you know, that's not my opinion. I just think what's going on here. I believe that the ticket might be stronger if she does get on the ticket as a VP role, maybe, although I don't think it's likely because I think there's a lot of animosity between these two candidates. Incredible, even more so than on the Republican side. But, you know, I just don't feel that if he doesn't do that, you know, he's going to have to get one whopper of a VP to try to help him here because, you know, there's a lot of disenfranchisement that happened during this primary for the Democratic candidate.
All right. Well, that's certainly one take on it, Mike. Thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. Spain is calling from Newport Beach, California, listening on KTLK. Spain, welcome to the program.
Oh, I just was telling your caller, I am so happy, and I kind of understood, and maybe this isn't what Michelle Obama said, but it's what I'm feeling for the first time in my life. I'm really proud to be an American, and I'm proud to be an American because it's almost like the Kennedy era, which I was too young to really appreciate, that era of hope and change, and that we are turning the page to do something different in the country. If that makes sense?
Yeah, it really does. Right before the program, I was watching MSNBC. John McCain is in Kenner, Louisiana, giving some sort of a rally. I'm not sure what it is because the crowd seemed like they were, I don't know, zombies, just half dead, kind of, yay, yelling in the background. But his sing-song voice and his patronizing attitude, like he's talking to 10-year-olds, until the camera pans over the crowd and you realize, wait, they may look older than 10-year-olds, but they mostly have the mentality of 10-year-olds. So, I think no matter who Barack Obama chooses, this is going to be a walk for him. I don't care what the pundits say, and I don't care what McCain says. Barack Obama is going to clean his clock. I want to see the two of them on a stage doing a debate, and Barack Obama will slice and dice this guy almost to the point where he'll probably feel inclined. Barack Obama will probably feel inclined to hold back a little bit because McCain really does not have both feet in reality. He just doesn't. So yeah, I agree with you, Spain. It's you know, it's a good feeling. I feel the hope too. I hope it all comes together the way it's supposed to.
No, and I really hope nothing happens to him. I really do.
Yeah, I hear that.
And I think the Clintons ought to be very careful because, you know what, I'm sorry. I remember Ron Brown. I remember, you know, I remember Vince Foster, you know, and I am kind of fearful.
There's certainly reason, Spain, to be fearful of some nutball in the United States, some racist thug taking a shot or something at Barack Obama. I mean, let's face it, this is the United States. We are still the United States. It doesn't make any difference what has happened with Barack Obama getting the nomination. We are still the United States. But as far as Clintons are concerned, Vince Foster committed suicide. Ron Brown died in a plane crash. The right-wing noise machine, that vast right-wing conspiracy that Hillary Clinton talked about, has put these stories out for what now? 15 years about the Clintons murdered all these people. Spain, let me just tell you, it's garbage. It's bat squeeze. It's nonsense. I'm not saying Barack Obama doesn't have to watch himself very carefully, but not for the Clintons. And as far, and thanks a lot, Spain. I appreciate you checking in. As far as Barack Obama picks, it would be interesting, wouldn't it, to see him pick Hillary Clinton. I don't know that would be, as long as we're going to have corporate candidates, why not go all the way? Why not go all the way? Why not put Hillary Clinton on the ticket? If the main objective here is for the so-called Democratic Party to win and to drag with it all those down-ticket House members and senators that are up for re-election, what better way to do it than with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton? Now, I'm suggesting that strictly from a tactical point of view. I don't particularly agree with the corporate Democrat stance. You know that if you listen to this program long enough. But I'm also not going to get on the program here and cut my own throat and say, screw them. You know, let's all vote for Ralph Nader. I'm just not going to do that. So anybody who wants to hear me say that, you're not going to hear me say it. All right. So Barack Obama, if he chooses Hillary Clinton, will be, I think, the kind of tactical decision that would guarantee a huge Democratic majority in the House and the Senate.
I have to say, in Spain's defense here for a second, it is a little bit creepy and a tiny bit spooky how she kept referring to Bobby Kennedy and June, and I can understand why that might make Mr. Obama a tad nervous.
Well, you know, there's a possibility, Kathy, that we all read way too much into that. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, for all their faults, they have mountains of faults. I don't really believe that it was a conscious, call me crazy, call me naive, go ahead, I don't care. At this point, I really don't give a damn anymore. But I don't think that there was a conscious effort to suggest that Barack Obama might be shot, and for that reason, Hillary Clinton should stay active in the campaign. I just can't go there. I cannot go there. I'm sorry.
And I don't think I can take 4 years of her pantsuit.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy, there's hope. You let it, it'll drive you crazy, there's hope. But I'm taking back my power today, there's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising, there's hope. The government, they keep on lying. are surviving. Keep living our truth and do the best we can do. Cause there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
21 past the hour, Barack Obama is the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party for president, and that's what we're talking about. I was telling Spain, the last 15 minutes of downtime for us right before the program began, I was watching on MSNBC McCain in Kenner, Louisiana, giving a speech to a very strange-looking crowd. Every time the camera would pan, it was weird beyond belief. Kenner, Louisiana, you might as well call it New Orleans. But there he was, his sing-song voice, and he had a tagline. Whoever wrote the speech for him would say, okay, now here's your setup. You do the setup about how Barack Obama wants to blah, 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 all of which is negative. And then you add the tagline, that's not the change we can believe in. So McCain was doing that over and over again, whether it was about Iraq or what to do in a case of emergency like a hurricane flooding the city of New Orleans, whether it was economic policy. That's not the change we can believe in. That's not the change. And this poor, dumbass, cracker-looking audience would just sit there. Is that where we're supposed to applaud? Okay. Yay! 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 Oh, my God. They were there. They were applauding line after line of this dead, lifeless speech from McCain as he laid out the plans to shatter everything that the people applauding him desperately need. Health care, jobs, economic stability, a secure country, an end to the war. Everything McCain was talking about. Totally incoherent comments on Iraq and the Sunnis and the Shias. And you know, that damn Obama wants to end the war. We can't have any of that. That's not the change we can believe in. And then the crackers would all stand up and go, yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. And he wants to reform health care because he thinks that government can do a better job. That's not the change we can believe in. Yeah. And then the crackers all stand up. Yeah, yeah. Jesus God, I thought I was watching some sort of exhibit at a damn zoo. McCain up there throwing handfuls of dead, rotten fish to the seals. Yeah! That's not the change we can believe in. And all the crackers stand up. Yeah! Yeah! Give me another chaw of tobacco there, will you, Roof? Oh, damn, I love John McCain. Isn't he a patriot? I got to go because my wife's in the hospital. I don't know how in the hell we're going to get her out. Yeah, she had some kind of a lump, goddamn lump, on her breast, and we don't have no insurance. But John McCain, he's going to make sure that we don't never have no insurance. Ah, damn, that's the kind of change we can believe in. There you go. Please, television networks. You want something that's more entertaining than Saturday Night Live, much more entertaining than Mad TV, that will garner more audience share than any night of American Idol. Put this freakish, white-haired, lumpy-faced old man who talks about, well, my friends, everything's rotten and dead in this country, but that's just the way it goes, rotten and dead. So that's not the kind of change we can believe in. Just, you got to learn to love rotten and dead like I have. You know, every time I look in the mirror in the morning, I think, rotten and dead, you know, and I've come to love it. So, you know, that's not the change we can believe in. Put him on a stage with a young, forward-looking, hopeful, articulate candidate named Barack Obama. And dear God, it'll end before it begins. This simpering, alcoholic, drunk pilot from the Navy who had an alarming habit of crashing everything he got his hands on, killing Americans, killing Vietnamese, didn't matter to him. God damn, let me behind the wheel of that sucker. John McCain, he says we're better off now than 8 years ago. He calls our economic problems, are you ready, psychological. And all the crackers down in Kenner, Louisiana, stand up and go, yeah, God damn it, psychological. What was that word, Roof? Hell, I don't know, but I sure do like John McCain. McCain has proposed a tax plan that'll give billions more to corporations and would cut key working family programs, like family leave. John McCain stands there, this decaying, dead man standing there. Well, we don't need family leave. That's just another government intervention program. Oh, my. And the crackers all stand up and go, yeah, that's right. God damn. Hillary's coming. All right, let's do a break and come back and hear what Mrs. Clinton has to say. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
That's not the change you ain't believing in. I love John McCain. Goddamn right.
Green sheet cord and gray bird to a little Tehran. And the Ayatollah aboard a nuclear warship. If he dies, he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true. No one here knows what to do. And I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
Here's Senator Clinton. Let's join MSNBC Live.
As a result. So we are grateful. And it has been an honor to contest these primaries with him, just as it is an honor to call him my friend. And tonight, I would like all of us to take a moment to recognize him and his supporters for all they have accomplished. Now, 16 months ago, you and I began a journey to make history and to remake America. And from the hills of New Hampshire to the hollows of West Virginia and Kentucky, from the fields of California to the factories of Ohio, from the Alleghenies to the Ozarks to the Everglades, to right here in the great state of New York. We saw millions of Americans registering to vote for the first time, raising money for the first time, knocking on doors, making calls, talking to their friends and neighbors. Mothers and fathers lifting their little girls and their little boys onto their shoulders and whispering, "See, you can be anything you want to be."
I like the guy back there over her right shoulder with the flag. Look at that guy. There he is. Look at him with the glasses.
All those wonderful women in their 90s who came out to see me because they were born before women could vote. And they wanted to be part of making history. And the people who drove for miles, who waved their handmade signs, who went to all the events that we held, who came to HillaryClinton.com and showed the tangible support.
Oh, my God, the guy's picking his nose. Come on, man, you're on national TV. Stop it.
Grateful because in the millions of quiet moments in thousands of places, you asked yourself a simple question. Who will be the strongest candidate and the strongest president? Who will be ready to take back the White House
on day one,
take charge as commander in chief, and lead our country
on day
to
one
better tomorrows? People in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the territories all had a chance to make your voices heard. And on election day after election day, you came out in record numbers to cast your ballots. Nearly 18 million of you.
Okay, but come on, come on, get to the good part.
For our campaign, carrying the popular vote with more votes than any primary candidate in history.
What?
Even when the pundits and the naysayers proclaimed week after week that this race was over, you kept on voting. You're the nurse on the second shift, the worker on the line, the waitress on her feet, the small business owner, the farmer, the teacher, the miner, the trucker, the soldier, the veteran, the student. The hard-working men and women who don't always make the headlines but have always written America's story. You have voted because you wanted to take back the White House. And because of you, we won together the swing states necessary to get to 270 electoral votes.
What?
And you know,
okay, apparently the Malloy program here has slipped into a parallel universe. I do apologize. Let me check the machinery here to find out what happened. All right, here we go.
A party that believes everyone should have a fair shot at the American dream. A party that cherishes every child, values every family, and counts every single vote.
Yeah, count them all.
I often felt that each of your votes was a prayer for our nation, a declaration of your dreams for your children, a reflection of your desire to chart a new course in this new century. And in the end, while this primary was long, I am so proud we stayed the course together.
All right, this is just crossing the wires right now. Hillary Clinton has been linked to another murder. This time, the recent death of Yves Saint Laurent, inventor of the pantsuit, has been ruled a homicide. Evidence has led to the arrest of a former Bosnian sniper with links to the Clintons. In his confession, he admits he was hired to eliminate Saint Laurent after Hillary came to blame pantsuits for her poor showing in the primaries. All right, you heard it here first. All right.
State, red, blue, purple, people of every age, faith, color, and walk of life. And we have brought so many people into the Democratic Party and created enthusiasm among those we seek to serve. And I am committed to uniting our party so we move forward stronger and more ready than ever to take back the White House this November. You know, for the past 7 years, so many people in this country have felt invisible. Like your president didn't even really see you. I have seen the shuttered factories, the jobs shipped overseas, the families struggling to afford gas and groceries. But I've also seen unions retraining workers to build energy-efficient buildings, innovators designing cars, that run on fuel cells and biofuels and electricity, cars that get more miles per gallon than ever before, cars that will cut the cost of driving, reduce our reliance
okay.
on foreign oil, and fight global warming.
Let's all fight global warming. All right.
I have met too many people without health care. Just a diagnosis away from financial ruin. But I've also seen the scientists and researchers solving the medical mysteries and finding the treatments and cures that are transforming lives. I've seen the struggling schools with the crumbling classrooms and the unfair burdens imposed by No Child Left Behind.
I can't take much more.
But I've also met dedicated and caring teachers who use their own savings to buy supplies, and students passionately engaged in the issues of our time, from ending the genocide in Darfur to once again making the environment a central issue of our day.
Okay. Please be over.
None of you is invisible to me. You never have been.
Oh, okay.
I see you. And
I see you.
How hardworking you are.
Peekaboo!
I've been fighting for you my whole adult life.
No, you haven't!
For you and working for you every single day.
I see you.
Because in your courage and character, your energy and ingenuity, your compassion and faith, I see the promise of America every day.
Yeah.
The challenges we face are great, but our determination is greater. You know, I understand that a lot of people are asking, what does Hillary want? What does she want?
Well,
I want what I have always fought for in this whole campaign.
Yeah.
I want to end the war in Iraq.
Oh!
I want to turn this economy around.
Oh!
I want health care for every American. I want every child to live up to his or her God-given potential.
Whoops, be careful there.
I want the nearly 18 million Americans who voted for me to be respected, to be heard, and no longer to be invisible.
What the hell are you talking about? Who said they're invisible?
You see,
yes, she will.
An old-fashioned notion, one that's been the basis of my candidacy and my life's work, that public service is about helping people solve their problems and live their own dreams.
Oh.
This nation has given me every opportunity, and that's what I want for every single American.
Okay, I've got to go check the anchors in the reality sphere here and make sure we're still tethered. We'll be back after the break. Oh my God, my hand's invisible. I can't see it. About 10 before the hour, people are not asking what Hillary wants. They're asking when the hell the speech is going to end. Let's go! Back to Hillary!
And in the coming days, I'll be consulting with supporters and party leaders to determine how to move forward with the best interests of our party and our country guiding my way. And I want to conclude tonight by saying thank you. Thank you to the people across America for welcoming me and my family into your homes and your hearts. Thanks to all of you in every corner of this country who cast your votes for our campaign. I am honored and humbled by your support and your trust. Thanks to my staff and volunteers.
Okay, all right. That's enough. I guess during our break here, she said she's not going to make a decision tonight, right? Isn't that, I believe that's okay. You can cut it.
All I know is she said we were all invisible or something.
Cut it. Oh. I wish McCain would stop saying my friends, and I wish Hillary would stop saying, you know, my friends. Mary in Denver writes, so Mike, here I am, a Hillary contemporary, white woman graduate of one of those elite colleges who has never supported her ambitions. I watched with dismay how she blew the health care task force effort in 1993. I was appalled but not surprised at her opportunism in supporting this vile invasion of Iraq and on and on. But she can be VP if Obama decides that this is the best course for the country. We are required to trust his judgment, which has proven pretty damn good so far. The Clinton machine could be a valuable asset in closing the deal. I am happy Obama finally won. He and his staff demonstrated so much perseverance, talent, and smarts that one just has to smile in admiration. Now the real battle begins, Mary writes, and I'm dreading the upcoming months of Republican and media viciousness, not to mention the strong probability of election fraud, and worse, that we will have to face. The Bush machine will not exit gracefully. We must be relentless as they are. With the Obama team leading the charge, we may have a chance. Mary in Denver. P.S. Kucinich for Secretary of Defense /peace. Brooke writes in, Mike, I was just logging on to email, and you read my mind. I couldn't agree with you more. When Obama gets up on a stage next to McCain, it can't and won't be a competition. I guess she's referring to McCain. He offers such a drastic contrast. Anyone who looks at these two men and chooses McCain needs to have his or her head examined. If you don't vote for your best interest, then you deserve the government you elect. The only people in the world more disappointed tonight than the Clinton campaign are the members of the Republican Party. They just couldn't wait for us to nominate Hillary so they could butcher her just like the bastards did Bill Clinton. Well, the joke is on them. I do believe that if Obama chooses Hillary, she will bring with her millions of votes that we do need. At that point, John McCain should just drop out. He won't have a chance in hell. I'm full of hope tonight, a feeling I've not had since 1992 when I was a senior in high school and so hopeful that Clinton would defeat Bush Sr. and end the Reagan era. I'm a 33-year-old white woman from Indiana, and yes, I am proud of my country tonight. It is nice to not feel full of shame for a change. Brooke. So, does everybody think that Hillary would make a good tactical choice for Barack Obama? Let's go back to your phone calls. Roger is calling from Brooklyn, listening on the Internet. Hey, Roger. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
And hello to Kathy as well. This is a wonderful day, I think, a wonderful night. So happy for the Obama campaign. And the main point that to get right to it is that the Hillary supporters need to come over now and support Obama. We have to unify. We have to put all the spitefulness and this hostility behind us and beat McCain. We've got to do everything that we can to beat McCain.
Yeah, and I think the lousy media in this country is going to abandon Hillary now as quickly as they can and start focusing on Barack Obama. One thing media love, all media, but especially television, is a fight, especially if it's down in the gutter, and the Republicans will definitely start from the gutter and take it lower than that. And with all the potential for race baiting and ugliness that the Republicans have at their disposal now, with Barack Obama being the Democratic nominee, it's going to be awful. And television is going to just love it, just suck on it, eat on it, wallow in it, bathe in it. They are going to promote it. the ugliness that's going to develop in this campaign. So I think Hillary is off the stage now. She's gone. Everybody knows it doesn't matter what her decision is. What matters is the rules that were set, and by those rules, Barack Obama has won the nomination.
Absolutely. Yeah, I used to be really a supporter of Hillary and Bill's, but I just really am not proud of the way that they conducted themselves through this whole thing, and even through the speech, it was still embarrassing. I'm not enough credit for Barack. I mean, he's run an outstanding campaign. His demeanor, he's calm, he's together, he's unified. Been congratulatory towards her, over the top, I think. I mean, in ways where I don't want to bash her. I don't want to be like all these people who are bashing and this and that. You know,
well,
it speaks for itself.
Yeah, it is time for Hillary to leave the stage now, and I think, like I said, I think television would do that. Roger, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. It's time for everybody to get out of the way so that Barack Obama and his campaign can begin to figure out how they are going to defend, not against McCain, but against the these subordinates of McCain, ones that he's asked to work for him and ones that he has not, as they attempt to destroy Barack Obama. We'll be back after the break. Don't you dare go away. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. 15 minutes before the hour. Hello! Stop! I told you we'd slipped into parallel universe. It is 7 minutes past the hour. Whew. I have on my ring of JGs, and I am invisible. That's what Rick writes. Mike, she can't see me. I have the ring of JJ's. Do you have Bilbo's ring? We are waiting for Barack Obama to... he's in Minnesota. We're waiting for him to come out and give his speech. We're going to carry that for you, too. And while we are waiting... That was a very strange... very strange speech by Senator Clinton, to say the least. All right, let's do a phone call if we have a chance here. Mary Ann is calling from Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Mary Ann.
Hey, Mike. I think you are absolutely wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
I am a 55-year-old professional woman, and I am absolutely ecstatic that Barack Obama is going to be our Democratic nominee. When all the campaigning started, I was gung-ho for Hillary. I thought it was time for a woman in the White House, but the longer that I listened and the more that I read, I came to realize that it was time for the Bush-Clinton machine to go away.
Well, yeah, I can understand that point of view. And my point of view, I've said on this program many times, had Hillary Clinton been a better candidate, Barack Obama, Barack Oshmama, I would have voted for her, but she simply is not.
Absolutely. Tactically, I think choosing her as vice president would really help the unity of the party.
Uh-huh.
But I think that one thing that they have to take into account is they need to muzzle Bill.
Well, I think that is an absolute baseline requirement. I don't know what has happened to the big dog, but there's a huge piece in Vanity Fair this month that I've been reading online that is really scary. This is the piece that when he was asked about the author, he referred to him as slimy the other day, and then he retracted it. He said he didn't really mean to use that kind of language. But if you get a chance, just go to vanityfair.com and read this long article by, I think it's Scott Purdom, I think is the writer.
Oy, yeah.
It is. But if it is going to be Obama Clinton, they need to muzzle the big dog. All right, thanks a lot. We're going to listen to what he has to say. Marianne, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Let's join MSNBC. Barack Obama here is about to speak. Stay with us now. Don't go away. We got it all for you. Whatever you want. We'll have some clowns in a few minutes. We got a guy who's coming in to make those little balloon animals. You're going to love that. And the Ring of Jajis, which, well, it's a mythology. I think it's Plato wrote about it, didn't he? It was a shepherd that found this ring. I like Bilbo's ring better. All right! Hey-o!
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I want to see McCain on stage with this guy. Oh. Oh.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank My you. God, it's all white people. Look at that. Oh, that's right. It's Minnesota. Never mind.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful reception. Thank you, St. Paul. Thank you, Minnesota.
Thank you, America.
Thank you, Joan Severson, for the wonderful introduction. Thank you, Michelle Obama and Malia Obama and Sasha Obama. Thank you to my brothers and sisters. Thank you to my staff. Thank you to our volunteers. Thank you to my political team. Thank you to our campaign manager, David Plouffe, who never gets any credit but has built the best political organization in the country. Thank you to my grandmother, who helped raise me and is sitting in Hawaii somewhere right now because she can't travel, but who poured everything she had into me and who helped to make me the man I am today. Tonight is for her.
He dedicates it to his grandma. I like that.
After 54 hard-fought contests, our primary season has finally come to an end. Months have passed since we first stood together on the steps of the old state capitol in Springfield, Illinois, Thousands of miles have been traveled. Millions of voices have been heard. And because of what you said, because you decided the change must come to Washington, because you believed that this year must be different than all the rest, because you chose to listen not to your doubts or your fears, but to your greatest hopes and highest aspirations.
He's got the flag pin back on. Did you see that? Look at that.
One historic journey with the beginning of another. A journey. A journey that will bring a new and better day to America. Because of you, tonight I can stand here and say that I will be the Democratic nominee for the President of the United States of America. I want to thank all those in Montana and South Dakota who stood up for change today. I want to thank every American who stood with us over the course of this campaign, through the good days and the bad, from the snows of Cedar Rapids to the sunshine of Sioux Falls. And tonight, I also want to thank the men and women who took this journey with me as fellow candidates for president. At this defining moment for our nation, we should be proud that our party put forth one of the most talented, qualified field of individuals ever to run for office. I have not just competed with them as rivals. I've learned from them as friends, as public servants, and as patriots who love America and are willing to work tirelessly to make this country better. They are leaders of this party and leaders that America will turn to for years to come. And that is particularly true for the candidate who has traveled further on this journey than anyone else. Senator Hillary Clinton has made history in this campaign. She has made history not just because she's a woman who has done what no woman has done before, but because she is a leader who inspires millions of Americans with her strength, her courage, and her commitment to the causes that brought us here.
Okay, we're going to take a break and come back. That sounds to me like he's offering her the vice presidency, the vice president slot, doesn't it, to you? Huh? Barack Obama in St. Paul, Minnesota. We'll come back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. 23 past the hour. Barack Obama is still speaking in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're going to go back to that speech. And when he finishes, then what we're going to do is just take phone calls about what you heard tonight from both candidates. And now, of course, Barack Obama is the nominee for the Democratic Party for president. Let's go back to his speech.
When John McCain decided to stand with George Bush 95% of the time, as he did in the Senate last year. It's not changed when he offers four more years of Bush economic policies that have failed to create well-paying jobs or insure our workers or help Americans afford the skyrocketing costs of college, policies that have lowered the real incomes of the average American family and widened the gap between Wall Street and Main Street and left our children with a mountain of debt. It's not changed when he promises to continue a policy in Iraq that asks everything of our brave men and women in uniform and nothing of Iraqi politicians. A policy where all we look for are reasons to stay in Iraq while we spend billions of dollars a month on a war that isn't making the American people any safer. So I'll say this. There are many words to describe John McCain's attempt to pass off his embrace of George Bush's policies as bipartisan and new. But change is not one of them. Change is not one of them. Because change is a foreign policy that doesn't begin and end with a war that should have never been authorized and never been waged. Stand here and pretend that there are many good options left in Iraq. But what's not an option is leaving our troops in that country for the next 100 years, especially at a time when our military is overstretched, our nation is isolated, and nearly every other threat to America is being ignored. We must be as careful getting out of Iraq as we were careless getting in. But start leaving, we must. It's time for Iraqis to take responsibility for their future. It's time to rebuild our military and give our veterans the care and the benefits they deserve when they come home. It's time to refocus our efforts on al-Qaeda's leadership in Afghanistan and rally the world against the common threats of the 21st century. Terrorism and nuclear weapons, climate change and poverty, genocide and disease. That's what change is. Change Minnesota is realizing that meeting today's threats requires not just our firepower, but the power of our diplomacy. Tough, direct diplomacy.
We'll be back after the break. Barack Obama is still speaking in St. Paul, Minnesota. If he's talking when we come back, we'll pick it up. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. It's about 25 before the hour. Let's go back to Barack Obama's speech from St. Paul, Minnesota.
In the other party, to provide more children with health insurance and more working families with a tax break, to curb the spread of nuclear weapons and ensure that the American people know where their tax dollars are being spent, and to reduce the influence of lobbyists who have all too often set the agenda in Washington. In our country, I have found that this cooperation happens not because we agree on everything, but because behind all the false labels and false divisions and categories that define us, beyond all the petty bickering and point scoring in Washington, Americans are a decent, generous, compassionate people, united by common challenges and common hopes. And every so often, there are moments which call on that fundamental goodness to make this country great again. So it was for that band of patriots who declared in a Philadelphia hall the formation of a more perfect union. And for all those who gave on the fields of Gettysburg and Antietam their last full measure of devotion to save that same union. So it was for the greatest generation that conquered fear itself and liberated a continent from tyranny and made this country home to untold opportunity and prosperity. So it was for the workers who stood out on the picket lines, the women who shattered glass ceilings, the children who braved a Selma Bridge for freedom's cause. So it has been for every generation that faced down the greatest challenges and the most improbable odds to lead their children a world that's better and kinder and more just. And so it must be for us. America, this is our moment. This is our time. Our time to turn the page on the policies of the past. Our time to bring new energy and new ideas to the challenges we face. Our time to offer a new direction for this country that we love. The journey will be difficult. The road will be long. I face this challenge with profound humility and knowledge of my own limitations. But I also face it with limitless faith in the capacity of the American people. Because if we are willing to work for it and fight for it and believe in it, then I am absolutely certain that generations from now, we will be able to look back and tell our children that this was the moment when we began to provide care for the sick and good jobs to the jobless. This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal. This was the moment when we ended a war and secured our nation and restored our image as the last best hope on earth. This was the moment, this was the time when we came together to remake this great nation so that it may always reflect our very best selves and our highest ideals. Thank you, Minnesota. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
The presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party for President of the United States.
Well,
my friends, I just want to say that I'm going to defeat Barack when the election is held in January, my friends. So stick by me and where's my cheese sandwich? Didn't someone know?
Oh, the contrast between John McCain in Kenner, Louisiana tonight and Barack Obama in St. Paul is just stunning. not just the tenor, the tone, the direction of what these two men said separately, but also the enthusiasm of their audiences, the absolute support for the positive message that Barack Obama is giving. Now, during both speeches tonight, I've gotten kind of a flood, well, not a flood, a trickle of letters from Clinton supporters and Obama supporters, and you know, some of them really, especially the Clinton supporters, expressing this really vitriolic pissed offedness. And it's got to go somewhere. So some of it is coming here. Some of it will go there. Some of it will go other places. The stuff from the Hillary Clinton supporters. I'll be damned if I can think of a reason that makes sense to elect someone president of the United States. I'm talking about my vote. Your vote, you can vote for Mickey Mouse if you want to. But for me to vote for someone because of their color, their gender, their religion, their age, to me, is absolute asininity. If someone wants to hang their dedication to democracy on a candidate because that candidate happens to be female, and it would, in fact, be an historic event, a woman president of the United States, if that's what you're about, then go for it. But don't send me your cheesy-ass emails. I really don't, and I've got the filter up to block some of them because I'm sick of it. Take your vitriol someplace else, okay? Son of a bitch, I don't have any effect on how people vote in all these 46 primaries. The people did speak, and they said, look, it's a great moment. We had all these wonderful Democratic candidates. Now we have one, and he's the nominee. But to get your bloomers in a wad because Hillary Clinton was defeated and you had hung everything you had on the fact that of her gender, what the hell is that? And people who are writing saying, I can't believe you as a liberal would not be in favor of another liberal, Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton is a liberal, I am the president of Israel. She is not a liberal. For God's sake, don't any of you people check the record, the voting record, her voting record. It is not liberal. It never has been. Wow. Man. And again, whether you believe this or not, you Hillary Clinton supporters, and frankly, I really don't care all that much, because come November, if you vote for McCain, well, the hell with you. Then you're not a Democrat, you're not a progressive, you are somebody, you are a dog in the manger type who's just making a decision. Well, if you can't have your candidate, then you'll do everything you can to let Bush have a third term. If that's your game, go ahead and play it. I mean, it's your country as well as mine, your vote, your right. You do whatever the damn hell you want to do. But to presume that I spoke out against Hillary Clinton because she's a woman is the dumbest ass presumption I have ever heard. Where do you get that? Where do you get that? And as far as Barack Obama's skin color, again, that has, to me, not a damn thing to do with it. Oh, I don't misunderstand. I mean, you can't run away from the obvious. Barack Obama is a black man. Hillary Clinton is a white woman. Okay! You can't get away from that. But if you listen to the message behind the race, behind the gender, and then you make your decision, you've done what a good voting American is supposed to do. Now, you're going to climb up my ass because I listened to both candidates and decided this one is better, that one isn't? Get out of town. Go away with your nonsense. Man. I would get pissed off except for the fact that some of your emails are hysterically funny, sad as hell, but on a certain level funny, in a macabre sort of way. that you put everything on Hillary Clinton, not based on her record, not based on her voting record or her failed efforts to do this or that, not based on her pandering to group after group after group. No, 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 no. You based it on the fact that she's female. And by God, you're going to be part of history. Okay, you can be part of history by electing a black man if you are so focused on race or gender. If that's your thing, then you've got a winner in Barack Obama. Now, if you're going to vote for Obama because he's an African-American, you're also a damn fool. Compare Obama's record, compare what he talks about to McCain's, then make your decision. Eh? Yow! Late at night, I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need. I'm a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the morning light. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be soon and he's gotta be louder than light. Like you and
primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, I've gotten a couple of emails from people who were very pissed off. They were watching this on ABC, and the emails I've gotten, for example, this is from Tom in Folsom, California. The minute Obama started detailing McCain's shady doings, Charlie Gibson interjected and talked over his speech, eventually cutting to George Stephanopoulos. Bastards. That's from Tom in Folsom, California. There were a couple more emails that came in. Yeah, corporate America would be much more comfortable, I really do think, with McCain. I don't know why. He's adult. He's as much of an ass as George W. Bush, only not as entertaining. I'm not sure what's going on. I think they would have loved to have had Hillary also, because she most certainly is the corporate candidate. Those of you who insist on calling her a liberal must think with your ankles. She is not a liberal. And again, that Mike Malloy saying it doesn't mean anything. Look at her record. Barack Obama is not a liberal. Look at his record. But what Barack Obama does do that Hillary Clinton and McCain would never do if he lived to be 140, is inspire people, is to give people hope. Now, for those of you hard-ass, hardcore realists, you don't want no jive talk, you don't want none of this hope, what is hope? You know, if that's how sour you have become, If all of a sudden you've developed some sort of a huge gland in your body somewhere that's just leaking cynicism, okay, have a nice life. Don't, you know, why bother me? Why email me? Why call my program? Go away. Jesus, God. If you can't just for a moment seize on that moment and say, okay, I think I'll give this guy a shot. No, wrong choice of words. I think I'll give this guy a chance. I mean, what is so hard about that? Have we become... There is no bigger cynic in America than moi. Trust me on that one. But I haven't squeezed off and taken the oxygen away from whatever little element of hope might exist inside of me. For Christ's sake, I had a kid when I was 62 years old. That's not hope, then what is? So if you can't generate hope about the Obama presidency, take your pulse, really, or go lie down someplace, because you're dead. You're dead in your spirit. You're dead in your soul. Wait a minute, Malloy's an atheist. Yes, I am. That doesn't mean I don't believe in soulfulness or spiritfulness. But I, you know, I just get so sick of seeing these cynical, nasty emails. What the hell is wrong with you people? Some of you, believe what you. I'm not suggesting you change your belief system, but just dump your vitriol someplace else just for a while, okay? I'm getting sick of it. Just for a while. Take all your ugliness and cynicism and depressing negative statements and put them somewhere else. I'm sure there are talk show hosts who would love to get that kind of reaction, would love to get an email or two or six or 20. But Jesus God, I'm getting tired of hearing this. He said ruefully. Lighten up, for God's sake. We've got somebody here. Bobby Kennedy wasn't a liberal either. Bobby Kennedy had Martin Luther King's phone tapped. But everybody looked at him as a hope because he had his conversion. Or so we thought. We never found out, did we? Jack Kennedy was no liberal. Jesus God, he wasn't a liberal. But he offered hope, didn't he? Huh? Man, Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't a liberal. Lighten up, people. Try to find some way to, instead of just unzipping your fly and peeing all over everything every time you turn around, if you're male, try to find a way just once, will you? Can you do that? Just try to find a way to look at the situation that we've got in front of us now and think to yourself, okay, the guy offers something. He offers some hope. Maybe not to you. Maybe you're so damn sour and so turned off that nothing could penetrate it. Okay, wallow in it. But he offers hope to millions and millions and millions of Americans. And they're not all stupid, naive morons who don't get it the way you do. So why not just for 5 minutes back off? Back off. Give it a chance. Jesus. Now, in that vein, when we come back, I've got a letter here from our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief. I'm going to email. I'm going to share with you. And then we're going to take your phone calls for the rest of the program. So you heard what you heard tonight, whether you watched it on television or heard it on this program, wherever you heard it. Hillary Clinton is history. If she wants to run again 8 years from now, fine, go for it. Barack Obama is the Democratic nominee to be president of the United States. The Republicans are going to unload on him. They are going to go for the racial undertones in this country. This is the only thing the Republicans have left. Barack Obama may be supported by certain corporate interests, but I will guarantee you one thing. If he becomes president, there are going to be some changes made. Now, if I'm wrong, and I'm still alive and still working in radio, I will be the first to come on the air and said, okay, that's it. I'm becoming a communist. All right? But until that moment, I'm willing to hook up to the hope train. Is that okay? Can some of you people that give me all this negative stuff, will you leave me alone? All right? Thank you. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Story in your eyes, it's been a
7 past the hour. We are going to take your phone calls here right after a couple of emails. That's as far as I want to go. The subject on this one is Hillary. It's from Greg in Baton Rouge. Writes, I don't know why you're so opposed to her being the VP choice. When Obama becomes president, he can take her over to Iran for some talks, and she will just open her mouth and talk and talk and talk, and their ears and eyes will bleed, and they will all commit suicide, and Iran will no longer be a problem. Well, this is from Lauren in Canada, who writes, Mike, wow, I never thought that some of you Americans would be smart enough to nominate the better of the two Democrats. Too bad the election will be stolen and McCain and or Bush will go on. It's nice to think you guys did the right thing. Now it's time to work on that little voting problem you have. And I don't really believe that all will be well if lots of people vote. I'm sure the Republicans have figured that out as well. That's from Lauren. Jane writes, Hillary for VP? I can't believe anyone is even thinking about it. I don't ever want to see another Clinton as long as I live. However, I'll bet you dollars to donuts that what Hillary wants is a high-level position for Chelsea. So we'll be saddled with another Clinton for decades. And can you imagine being president with Bill hanging around all the time? Oh, my God. That's where a signing statement would really come in handy. Yeah, he does suck up all the oxygen out of a room, doesn't he? Rick in Mesa, Arizona. Mike, your caller is saying that Hillary supporters need to come over and support Obama. Well, it doesn't help that Hillary is not officially conceded tonight. Hillary is the one responsible for the split in the party. The problems with Florida and Michigan were not the responsibility of the candidates. But Hillary turned it into an issue of Obama versus the voters of these states. She turned voters into being bitter toward Obama. As for the voters that will vote for Obama, there are two groups. As for the voters that will not vote for Obama, there are two groups. Those that are bitter and those that are willing to enact a self-fulfilling prophecy by not going to vote because they have convinced themselves he can't win against McCain. To those bitter Hillary supporters, I would like to ask you exactly, what exactly do you expect to accomplish? Do you think that by not voting for Obama, that Hillary will be nominated in 2012? Do you expect the rest of us to come out and support her in 2012 if her core supporters cost us the election now? Give me strength. These people need to think this through. Rick in Mesa, Arizona. Excuse me. Our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief, Dr. Marianne, nuclear physicist Marianne, writes, Hi there, Mike. I've been a little perplexed as to why the Obama people insist on dissing 50% of their fellow Democrats or would-be Democrats by getting apoplectic over a tough competition in a tight race. Fighting to the end, or a tough competitor in a tight race, fighting to the end, even as their candidate is poised to technically win in the delegate count tonight. You know that I was an early fundraiser for Obama during his long-shot Senate run, long before most of the lefty talk show hosts could even pronounce his name. I really thought I saw a president back then. I had also supported Hillary against all of her detractors up until her hideous 2002 war vote. That being said, I am equally disappointed and disgusted by the Senate performance of both these candidates. Neither showed an ounce of leadership in the Senate against the criminal Bush administration. Instead of doing their jobs, both decided to run for president. Instead of courage, they exhibited rank cowardice, not even an attempt to filibuster or rally their colleagues to filibuster anything from the Alito nomination to continued funding of war crimes in Iraq. Obama in particular, excuse me, with 72% of the vote in a state that swings either Republican or Democrat in cycles, could have spent some of that political capital where it would have mattered. For many things, it is already too late. Now it's a salvage job. Neither one really has what it takes to pull off an FDR-type turnaround, but either could be persuaded if we stepped up, rather than eased off, if we stepped up political activism once one of them is sworn in. But the Obama folks insisted on being poor winners, even before they've won. If Clinton had more people pulling votes for her, do they really want to give the finger to 2.5 million Florida and Michigan voters? If Clinton had more people pulling votes for her, then the pledged delegates do not reflect the Democratic action here. Like the superdelegates, it is a process of the Democratic Party. I would hope that all of the delegates look at the electoral map against McCain in the general election and decide who is more likely to win that contest. It's boiled down to warring groupiedom. But the fact is, Marianne writes, the tough primary has made both better candidates. In particular, if there are any other stories about Obama, I want them out by the summer, not revealed in October. A longer than expected primary might have been the reason his pastor became an issue, one that was dealt with skillfully and made Barack Obama stronger. Obama campaigned recently in Florida and elsewhere as vigorously as Clinton, and for reasons no more virtuous nor less calculating than did she. Why fear a battle all the way to the convention? If your candidate is of presidential quality, exposure should strengthen, not weaken, their candidacy. Despite the overheated rhetoric, for which Assassination Gate was the latest hyperventilating example, this campaign hasn't been anywhere near vicious, not by a long shot. And treating the so-called black vote the way every other damn group is considered in political calculations, from women, quote-quote, to Catholics, quote-quote, to Hispanics, etc., is not being racist. The insistence on wrapping this up so as to protect the precious golden boy candidate is really an indirect slight against Obama. Real candidates don't get this kind of treatment in a race so close. Obama was treated appropriately by the Clinton campaign as a formidable opponent who should be given no quarter. He can't expect a so-called affirmative action pass in the primary. He won't be given one in the fall. My sense is that if Clinton had mentioned RFK's June primary without mentioning assassination, people here would have been blowing a gasket anyway. She didn't say it. She implied it. They would repeat endlessly, ad nauseum. Do you think that a family facing losses of job, medical coverage in their homes is really getting worked up over this nonsense? Let's face it, we're all desperate for a Robert F. Kennedy, and we don't have one, as much as we want to see one in this race. The Democrat that gets into the White House is going to have to be forced by us out of their cautious tiptoeing to power to take some very tough stands against many of the interests, Wall Street, Big Pharma, AIPAC, credit industries, and so forth, that pushed or allowed them into power. Whoever that Democrat is, we are going to have to make them the president we need them to be. This is probably the longest email I've ever read on the air. Signed, Marianne, our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief. All right, well, look. I do understand. So many of our very astute, focused, and thoroughly pissed off listeners to this program, and I'm not talking about the Hillary supporters or the Obama supporters, but people who see the electoral process now as a hoax, a sham, and a myth, who see the whole thing as an exercise in corporate control. There are many people who listen to this program who feel that way, who either do or think they do. It's not my place to determine this. Who either do or think they do have an insight that the vast majority of the American public doesn't have where it concerns Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Okay, let's stipulate that those of you who see that are more politically astute than the average voter. Okay. So what do you want to do about that? I'm not suggesting Marianne said this, but for the people who want to just sit back on their asses and say they both suck, they're both corporate candidates, they both don't make any sense, they both have already sold out. If that's the case, then it seems to me your choices are clear. Either get out of the process completely, because this is what we've got to work with, or pick up a gun and start a revolution. I mean, what is your third choice? I don't know. I really don't. But I think, as Marianne pointed out, whichever one of these candidates does wind up in the White House, I'm talking about the Democrat, it's up to us to force them to be what we want them to be.
In the morning, the terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So to your back seat in bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology, while the treasury's being bled, keep a bucket on your head. You won't need any eye holes, they'll just...
It's 22 past the hour.
We're being
led. All right, let's go to your phone calls. The number is 800-989-1480. I think Jeff is going to be on for another couple of hours when we go off. We're off the air in about 40 minutes. And Jeff Harris at our flagship station, KPHX in Phoenix, will continue for a Phoenix radio audience and for Nova M listeners who stream the program. Stay tuned for our colleague Jeff Harris, who will bring some of the final numbers in from Montana and South Dakota. I believe those are the two states that have the primaries, right? All right, back to your phone calls. Marge is calling from Indiana. God, you've been holding on for an hour and 40 minutes, huh?
My ear is getting bigger than Kucinich's ears.
Yeah, well, that's big.
You know, good evening, Michael. How are you?
Oh, hi, Marge.
Have you taken a deep breath after all this harangue tonight?
Well, yeah.
Good. You know, if Barack were to name Hillary as his VP, he'd have to get a special jet from Bill. Name him... international ambassador of schmooze, and not let him back into the country except for Chelsea's birthday.
Well, there you go. That would probably be good.
And while I was sitting here, I'm thinking about different things. You know, I'm taking it a step further. You know, Kucinich would be a good chairman of the FCC to make damn sure that all the candidates on a presidential campaign get airtime. Don't you think?
Yes. Yes, I think that would be great. The only problem is there are three, or is it three FCC board members?
Three or five. It's an odd number, I believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, make him chairman, and then he could decide what was going to be done and what wasn't going to be done. And then I had this goofy idea.
Yeah, what's that?
How about making Ralph Nader attorney general? Wouldn't that create a river of brown on Wall Street?
Yeah, river of brown. Yeah, that would definitely would. But make Nader the attorney general?
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
Why not make him secretary of commerce?
or
head of the Food and Drug Administration?
Something, you know, that he could go after these people.
Yeah, I think Nader would be good, head of the EPA. I think Nader would be good as attorney general. I really do. You know, if Nader were 20 years younger and had ever once in his political career, just once, had tried to put together and succeeded in putting together an organization that sought votes on the county level, the state level, the U.S. Congress, U.S. Senate. Nader emerges like a groundhog every 4 years and raises up on his hind legs and starts howling about all the things that he should be howling about. I'm not denying that Ralph Nader would probably have made an excellent candidate for president. But I've been saying this for 16 years.
Yeah, well,
not how you do it.
You got to work your way up from the bottom.
And I have to listen, or I don't have to. I can delete their messages, but I get so many emails from so many Nader supporters who wonder why I don't support this almost 80-year-old man who had ample...
No, he's not.
He's 76.
He's my age. He's not quite 80. Take it easy there, Charlie.
All right. But, you know, why, you know, you say you're a liberal, Malloy, why don't you support Nader? I've been supporting Nader since before some of these emailers learned how to write.
Safe at any speed.
But Nader was never the kind of candidate who was willing to put in the sweat, the blood, the tears, the organization, the work required, required to build a presidential campaign. You know, he just flops out of his bunker every 4 years and expects people to go, "Oh, Ralph, oh my God, hi, Ralph, thank God." You know, and half of America goes, "Who is this guy?"
You know. One last thought. How about Helen Thomas for press secretary? I'm sitting here listening, and I'm coming up with all sorts of ideas. What can I tell you? I will go one thing further. You were talking earlier about Charlie Gibson cutting off Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You know, locally on ABC, they run a promotion for the news.
Yeah.
And one of the lines where he comes in with the...
Hold on, Marge. Hold on. I got to put you on hold. I thought you were going to finish up there a little quicker. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Like a dirty knife, just ain't cutting. Just talking loud and saying nothing. Just saying nothing. What? Just saying nothing. Don't tell me how.
Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. We were talking with Marge, who ran his headlong into the clock.
I'm still here. Promo for the local news with the local broadcasters, and I can't for the life of me think of their names. But anyhow, they're extolling us with the virtues of their presentation, saying that they will present the events of the day and all the news and help us make sense of it. And I thought, you egotistical, no.
So is that a Chicago station?
Yeah, well, it's a Chicago Chicago station that he's joining with, but he's, you know, as the national broadcaster, joining arm in arm with them doing a promotion.
Yeah, it sounds like ABC. It sounds like Charlie.
Well, you know, what I'm jabbing at is corporate media.
Sure.
They think we're all a bunch of dumb bunnies that don't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. You know, they're going to dissect everything for us and spoon feed us.
Well, and to a degree, they're right, because millions of people tune into this garbage every night. Among the three networks, they have a combined viewership of about 21 million Americans. If you figure half the population is adult, and I realize that it's probably less than half, but if you figure half the population, that means 150 million people are adult. And if 20 million people watch this, that's about 14% of the population that watches this garbage every night. So,
well, we do give the weather report and the sports, but I mean, you know.
I know.
What can I tell you?
Tell me I've won the lottery.
Hey, well, they do that, too.
I know.
So there is some service in there. Yeah, but, he's going to help me make sense of it. Go the hell away, you turkey.
Really.
I mean. So anyway, my friend, have a good night.
Say hey
to Kathy.
I'll do it, Marge. Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
All right, you too. I'm still hung up, not on you know, Hillary Clinton's speech or Barack Obama's speech tonight, but on John McCain. I just can't get that out of my mind for some reason. When I think about it, in memory, less than 3 hours old, I think I saw him speaking in a local YMCA gymnasium in Kenner, Louisiana. I know it wasn't that, but that's what it looked like. You could almost smell the socks and the jock straps and the sweaty shoes. That's just the way he came across. And somebody better work on him with his makeup. Dear God, he looked like a painted hoe tonight. Either work on the makeup or work on the lighting. I'm sorry, this is America, and form outdoes substance about 89.6% of the time. So somebody better work on McCain's makeup. Especially that lipstick thing he's got going, or it's just, But listening to McCain, I keep coming back to that. That's not change we can believe in. That's not change we can believe in. And the dumbasses, apparently somebody in the McCain camp was out in the audience, and every time there was an applause line, this McCain shill would go, whoop, yeah, yo, whoa. And the crackers would all go, yeah, yeah, and start applauding and drooling down their bib overhauls. It was just awful to watch. It was just awful to watch. I did, just for the pure sport of it, forget the politics. I know some of you can't, but just forget the politics for a moment and think about Barack Obama and John McCain in a political debate. Now, in the first place, the monkeys who will be conducting this, people like Charlie Gibson and Judas Stephanopoulos and media whore number one Tim Russert and former German U-boat commander Wolf Blitzer, if you think about who's going to be conducting these so-called debates, that should make your blood run cold, because you know what they're going to try to do to Obama. You know what they're going to try to do to Obama, right? But I'm sorry, this is so bad of me to say this, but if I see John McCain raise his gimpy little arms one more time and say, my friends, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to go insane. I'm going to start gouging my own thighs with sharp instruments. But to watch that tonight, and to see people applauding when McCain was essentially saying, do you know Barack Obama, my friends, wants to make sure you have health insurance? That's not change we need. We can believe it. And these dumb bastards would applaud. I mean, it was like Crackerville on some roadside honky-tonk at 4 o'clock in the morning in Kenner, Louisiana. It was just unbelievable. My opponent, Barack Obama, wants to end the slaughter in Iraq. That's not change we can believe in. Here come the crackers again, just applauding and yelling and whooping and hollering. Oh, God. What's the matter with Kansas? Lord, what's the matter with New Orleans? What's the matter with so many white people? It's just unbelievable. That's not change we can believe in, my friends. It'll be interesting to see McCain and Obama on the same stage. I'm looking forward to that. Back to your phone calls. Steve is calling from Wisconsin, listening on the internet. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, you have a great show. I'm a very enthusiastic listener. I listen to you going back all the way to your Air America days, and I was very angry when you just all of a sudden disappeared from there. But anyway, here is my point that I was I don't know too much about this country. I'm just a Transylvanian hillbilly that just happened to.
You're what kind of hillbilly?
Transylvanian, Romania. I grew up in.
You grew up in Romania.
Yeah, and here's what my observation about this whole primary process.
I didn't know Romania had hillbillies.
Oh, Transylvania is full of them. I am one of them.
Oh, okay. All right.
So here is the observation I have as an outsider. I completely don't have an axe to grind against anybody, but listening to mainly affluent white baby boomer professional white women who support
Hillary. Who say that part again?
Listening to mostly affluent white professional women who are up in arms about the wrong that has been done against them by supporters of Barack Obama or Obama himself.
Yeah.
I would like them to contemplate one little statistic that I don't think many, even on the liberal side, understand. And that is that today the United States incarcerates about 4,800 per 100,000 African-American males.
Mm-hmm.
That's about six times higher than apartheid South Africa jailed black males in 1990. So, and here is, I'm looking at Human Rights Watch, an article written in May of 2004 when the Abu Ghraib scandal broke by Jamie Fallner, SQR. And it says here that the sadistic abuse and sexual humiliation by American soldiers at Abu Ghraib prison has shocked most Americans, but not those of us familiar with U.S. jails and prisons. In American prisons today, wanton staff brutality and degrading treatment of inmates occur across the country with distressing frequency. And it goes on and on with details and specific cases. Now, here is my problem. We had a civil rights act in 1968, and then the political class keeps hammering this home, and even the black community is brainwashed by this information that blacks are better off. I mean, after all, you know, there are still problems in our society. There are still some little minor issues, but blacks are better off. That is not true. That's the biggest lie I ever heard. Because back in 1968, incarceration rates in this country were European, like anywhere else in the free world. About 200-300 black males per 100,000, which was still like 2-3 times higher than white males.
Mm-hmm.
But it was normal. It was civilized incarceration rate.
Okay.
Today,
well, all right. Let me interrupt, Steve, because we're going way out in left field here. First, I disagree with you that liberals are not aware of the incarceration rate in this country overall and as it breaks out in terms of race. Of course we are. It's a topic that has not been brought up on this program very often. As a matter of fact, I haven't brought it up for a year or two. It may have been back in the bad old days with Air America the last time I brought it up. But insofar as most Americans knowing, you're probably right. Most Americans are not aware that we now have more people in prisons and jails than any other country on earth. And I'm talking about as a percentage of population, but also raw numbers. We have over 2 million people locked up. China, that has five times our population, does not have that many people locked up. Russia does not have that many people locked up. The entire continent of Africa, I believe, does not have that many people locked up. So, yeah, it's a horrific problem. And the vast majority of those people locked up, especially on drug crimes, are Americans of African descent. You're absolutely right. But I don't think it's a question that liberals are not aware of it. Of course we are. Of course we are. The question is what to do about it, right?
It was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
Wrong.
Boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk. And I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk. And you talk that talk. You knocks me out.
10 before the hour. Don't forget, stay tuned if you're listening to KPHX. Jeff Farias, our colleague at the flagship station in Phoenix, we'll broadcast for another couple of hours, bringing all the latest results from Montana and South Dakota. And if you are a listener on internet streaming of Nova M Radio, you can stay tuned and listen to what Jeff has to say about that, too. So stick around another couple hours. of fun frivolity here on Nova M and KPHX with Jeff Farias. Thanks to the crew tonight, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Sharon Gordy. Our executive producer is Catherine Bay. Back to some phone calls here. We have a few minutes left. Mark is calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding
on. Hi, Mark. Hi, Mike. Great to be talking to you. I used to be a really big Hillary fan, and then I started doing a lot of research, reading a lot of books, articles and such. And my best analysis of what we're seeing today is that Hillary is engaged in a bid for the 2012 election. I think that she doesn't have a chance to get into Obama's VP spot. Various newspaper sources have sort of neither campaign has made a serious nod in that direction. And she one of the most condemning things I should get out of the way about her that would in good conscience keep Obama from even thinking about having her as a VP is that Hillary invited a man named Sandy Berger into her campaign, and Sandy Berger was convicted $50,000 and 100 hours of community service for stealing pre-9/11
right.
Al-Qaeda intelligence from the National Archives, I believe it was.
Watch out! Don't yeah, right. don't be run over by a train, for God's sake.
Barack, in good conscience, can't bring her into that VP spot, but he can also use that against her when I believe she begins to start making attacks on him. I believe she's going to start making attacks on him and go into what a lot of historians have talked about her personality. Why she goes into this victim role when she begins to lose her political battle. So you're going to see her posturing and doing all these things, you know, the same type of speeches today, and just her even according to the Sunday LA Times last weekend, her very own aides have said she is going to stay into this race until at least August, okay? And I believe all these comments she has made up till now regarding these assassination attempts, possible assassination
attempts. Right, hey, let me just ask something, Mark. You know who Sandy Berger is, don't you, or who he was?
Well, he was in part of the Clinton's original.
Yeah, he was the national security advisor to Bill Clinton. And as far as what he was, he pled guilty a couple of years ago to a misdemeanor charge of unauthorized removal of classified material from the National Archives.
Which he stuffed up his shirt.
well, okay.
Let's not put a pretty
I'm not putting a pretty anything on.
Oh, I know.
I said he pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge of unauthorized removal and retention of classified material from the National Archives. I'm not putting anything pretty on it whatsoever. And again, as far as what Berger does now, he's a lobbyist, he's a campaign advisor, he has a misdemeanor conviction, and I just don't see how that factors into Hillary Clinton's campaign. I really don't. I mean, if she wants to put Sandy Berger on her campaign staff, that's her business. If you want to take a look at the people in government who were involved in mass killings in various parts of the world, I think it would kind of make Sandy Berger look like, you know, chump change or something. I really do. Thanks for checking in, pal. Arnold is calling from Durham, North Carolina, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Arnold. Yo, Arnold. All right, somebody wake Arnold up. Arnold?
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I'm here.
All right, talk to me.
Man, I tell you, I enjoy your show so much. It's like an emotional roller coaster. When I first got on the phone tonight, I was listening to Barack Obama's speech, and I was sitting there crying to Mr. Huff, telling him, man, first time in my 58 years of life, I get to see a black man do this in life, you know. But I know, the Hillary supporters, you know, and with malice to nobody, as Lincoln said this, with malice to nobody, tomorrow, when I get out of this truck, get out of my bunk, tomorrow, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'2". 280. Uh-huh. Tomorrow I'm going to walk around like I'm 6'4", 155, you know? I can't help it. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is me, you know?
I understand that the women who are backing Hillary, yada, yada, yada. I can understand black folk who are backing Barack, yada, 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 for the emotional reasons. I really can. I can't connect to it because I'm not black and I'm not female. But I can, you know, I can get a handle on it mentally. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
So I would imagine that the disappointment felt by women because Hillary didn't make it is as intense as the elation felt by black folk because Barack Obama did. And somewhere in that mix, I think what gets lost is what are these two candidates about? Now, you can make an argument, anyone can make an argument, that what they're about is less important than the symbolism of who they are and the constituency they represent. You know, Arnold, all the women who hung their hat on Hillary, all the black folks who hung their hat on Obama simply because of gender or race. You know, I can understand that. I can't connect to it, but I can understand. Arnold, I got to leave it there. Be careful. Walk tall tomorrow. Have fun. Do what you need to do. I'll see y'all tomorrow night. Thanks for checking in tonight. All right? All right. Take care. Keep it lit. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.